If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to continue our Philippians series. Philippians chapter 3, we're in verses 12 through 16 today. And as you're turning there, want to encourage you also to reach out to someone maybe with this and with this video recording and other things that are going on. It's a great opportunity for us to share what God's teaching all of us with those around us as we look ahead and as we consider what it is that God would have us know in our church and how we can apply that to our lives. And so if you know someone who could benefit from this video, don't hesitate to share it with someone as we work our way through it. And I know it'll be a blessing to them. But Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, is going to be our text today. But before we read it, I wanted to make a comment on certain irrefutable laws that exist in our world that make sense of the world around us. Laws such as an object will remain at rest or in a uniform state of motion unless that state is changed by some external force, or for every action in nature, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Such laws explain why things move and react in different ways. But did you know that in addition to these maybe laws of physics, that there are spiritual laws of motion? Yes, believe it or not, God is on the move, and so too should his people. It is implicit in our commission to go and make disciples. Christians and the churches that they occupy ought to be on the move for God's mission in the world. And in Philippians 3, 12 through 16, Paul reveals three spiritual laws of motion that together help us understand how we can be moving in the right direction for the glory of God. And so let's read the text together. Beginning in verse 12 of Philippians 3, it says, "Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." Let's pray together. God, we ask that you would guide us through this passage, and that in so doing, you would encourage us to, like Paul says here, press on, to keep moving in the right ways that are in keeping with your mission and your will for our lives. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I almost said you can be seated, but I imagine many of you are seated already. Force of habit. The first law that Paul reveals to us in this passage is those in Christ pursue Christ likeness. Those in Christ pursue Christ likeness. This is the first spiritual law of motion that Paul identifies in this passage. And the pursuit inherent in this law assumes that nobody in Christ has yet arrived at their final state. In other words, all of those who are in Christ are still in process. This is what Paul indicates at the beginning of verse 12 when he says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect." And given what Paul says next, the reader should ask, okay, well, what does Paul hope to attain? And what's clear in the context is that what Paul hopes to attain is completion or maturity, spiritual maturity, the end, if you will, of the sanctification process, or that process of in which we grow more like Christ. Paul had not, nor has anyone else this side of eternity, attained a complete knowledge of Christ or perfect Christ likeness. Paul understood that even for someone with his background and testimony, there was still a long way to go for him. And by the way, the same is true for all of us, again, as we pursue Christ's likeness. And what's interesting about this admission from Paul that he's not obtained it yet is that it was not uncommon for Greco-Roman sages of their day to confess that they were not perfect. It appeared to be a healthy way to look at oneself, and remains so today. And so let's follow Paul's example here together. Look at someone near you if you're near somebody, or maybe take some time later if you remember to do this, and I hope you do remember to do this, to look at yourself in the mirror if there's no one around, and say, I'm still in process. Tell someone right now, look at them next to you or maybe later and just remind them, I'm still in process. Now, doesn't that feel good to admit? Paul admits the very same thing here. I have not obtained it yet. And though Paul had not yet arrived to completion in Christ's likeness in this growing process that he was in, nor have any of us, Paul was doing his best to head in that direction. He says in verse 12, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And the verb for press on here means to move quickly and energetically towards some objective. And the function of this present tense verb highlights just how consistent and ongoing the nature of this activity ought to be. Again, what Paul was pressing on toward was Christ's likeness, both in knowledge and experience. And this process wouldn't be completed until the end, but that didn't matter to Paul. He's still going to be energetically seeking for this process to be made full. 1 John 3:2 says, Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known to us, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17 says, For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. At some point in the future, the Bible teaches us that believers, both those who have already died in Christ or those who are still alive in Christ at the time, will be transformed. Wherever the sanctification process was at that time will be immediately brought to completion. And the difference between where we are and the perfect Christ-likeness that we desire will be made up by the power of Almighty God. What an exciting thing to look forward to. But that said, Paul determined to do all he could to grow in that direction even now, in the meantime. Why? Because as the spiritual law of motion here in this text states, those in Christ pursue Christ-likeness. Paul's pressing on. He hasn't obtained it yet, but he's pressing on, knowing that one day it will happen. But in the meantime, he's doing all that he can to look and be more like Christ. Those whom God has saved possess a relentless, unyielding bent to be more like their Savior, as indicated by spiritual growth in his direction through the lifespan. Those in Christ pursue Christ-likeness. That's just how those in Christ roll. It's the first spiritual law of motion. And is this law being seen in your life? Are you growing more like Christ? Are you seeking to be more like him? Well, this leads us to the second spiritual law of motion. We know that one of the ways in which we ought to be moving, one of the directions we ought to be moving, is in the direction of Christ's likeness. But the second law of motion states this: a believer who forgets what lies behind is better prepared to move ahead. A believer who forgets what lies behind is better prepared to move ahead. Now, before introducing this next thought, Paul reiterates part of what he's already said in verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. Once again, Paul indicates that he's still in process. He hasn't arrived. And these continued reminders almost give you the sense that there were some in the church of Philippi who had unnaturally elevated Paul to a uniquely high pedestal, a pedestal upon which Paul was exceedingly uncomfortable. And so whether to humble himself or simply as another helpful reminder for those reading, Paul draws attention to, again, his sanctification and it being in process. He has not yet arrived. He still has a long way to go. And he reminds the church again and again and again. And so given this repetition and reminder, look at someone near to you and say to them, I'm still in process. I'm still in process. It hasn't changed in the last 5 minutes. We're all still in process. And the process that every believer, including Paul, is on requires motion in the direction of Christ's likeness, as we've already learned. And this motion is helped along by two activities. First, Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Verse 13. Forgetting what lies behind. The verb forgetting suggests that the best manner of moving forward or pressing on, as Paul has indicated earlier, involves a responsible dose of active amnesia of what lies behind. Again, as the second law states, a believer who forgets what lies behind is better prepared to move ahead. But just exactly what is included in what lies behind? What is Paul really trying to forget? Well, Paul here is speaking of any past action that he had committed, whether good or bad, whether he was proud of it or felt great shame and guilt over it. Believers must refuse to rely on good works performed in the past and cannot be paralyzed by past sins that they feel guilt over. Both an unnatural preoccupation with past good works can make someone feel righteous in their own power, which is not what we want. We're righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done. But also remembering and being preoccupied with past acts that are bad or that we feel guilt over can paralyze us, can be used of the enemy to keep us from going where God wants us to go. And so either way, To be preoccupied with the past is to handicap one's present effectiveness in pressing on in the direction that God would have you move. Both the nostalgia of the former life and reminiscing the good old days would paralyze Paul and keep him from experiencing what God wanted him in the future. Every day is a new adventure in the mission of God, with new potential for God to move and the gospel to advance, and any preoccupation with what was past would be akin to driving a car with your eyes firmly fixed solely on the rear view mirror. It's a dangerous way to go about moving forward. And Paul wasn't at all infatuated with his past achievements, nor was he handicapped by his past sins. You see, friends, if anybody had a past to brag about, in a religious sense, it would have been Paul. However, if anyone had a past to feel guilty about, it would have been Paul as well. Remember how he held the garments of those who were stoning the first Christian martyr. Remember how he persecuted the church. There were a lot of skeletons in Paul's closet. There were a lot of accolades that he had learned. But Paul says, you know, I'm forgetting all of that. I'm forgetting all of that in order that I might reach ahead. And to the degree that Paul was forgetting what lied behind, he was also busy with another activity, as we keep reading verse 13, reaching forward to what lies ahead. This action describes a zealous attempt to do something, a persistent and unquenchable striving. And you know, I was trying to think of an illustration for exactly what kind of striving this might look like. And I couldn't help but think of my youngest, Heidi, who's 2.5 years old. And recently she was reaching for the light switch in order to try and turn it on. and she was striving with all of her might, reaching on her tippy toes, outstretched her fingertips, doing everything that she could in her power to reach that light switch. This is the type of striving that Paul speaks of here, but on a spiritual level. However, what is it that Paul's striving for? Well, he says, what lies ahead? What lies ahead? Paul was focused on what lied ahead, and that's what he strove for. That's what he was reaching for in order to be on mission for the Lord. Sometimes I get up in the morning and think ahead to what I have to do that day. And honestly, my motivation in some days is just making it to lunch, if I can just get to lunch. But maybe you have things in your life that motivate you forward. Maybe it's getting to Christmas break. If I can just get all these classes finished to make it to Christmas break. Maybe it's graduating, or maybe it's getting married, or maybe it's moving into a new home, or maybe it's a vacation that you have planned. But all of these motivations that might exist in the future pale in comparison to what Paul is talking about here, and that is Christ-likeness and the realization of that in the glory of heaven. What an amazing thing to look forward to. What better thing is there that ought to steal all of our focus and all of our energy? And friends, we can't strive in the way that Paul is striving here if we're going to be distracted by things in the past. And Paul says, and the second spiritual law indicates that a believer who forgets what lies behind is better prepared to move ahead where God is taking all of us as he leads us according to his will. There's an interesting phenomenon in the animal kingdom with the cheetah. The cheetah at mealtime will focus on a single prey, a single animal among perhaps a grazing herd. And then once this animal has been singled out, the chase begins. During the chase, other animals, which the cheetah could perhaps more easily seize, may slip by or in the field of vision, but nothing can detract or turn the cheetah from his one fixed purpose, catching the unfortunate victim he has already singled out. In the same way, Paul suggests that he had highly focused objectives he was headed in, that he zealously pursued. What should be able to take his focus away from being more like Jesus and the glories of heaven that lie ahead? Nothing. Other things may slip in your field of vision. Other things might want to distract you from that forward motion for the Lord. But believers who forget what lies behind or around them are better prepared to move forward. They're not distracted by their colorful past or maybe what they were able to achieve in the past, but they are committed to moving forward in the Lord's strength. And friends, this is available to us just as it was for Paul. It's been said before, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, but I'm more with C.S. Lewis on this one. Our problem, I'm convinced, is not that we're too heavenly minded, but that we're not heavenly minded enough. The distractions of this fallen world would love for us to look behind or around for inspiration, but that's not where it's going to come from. Friends, the inspiration we need to persevere and to keep on the move for the Lord lies ahead in what God has promised us in Christ Jesus and where he wants to take us as we pursue him and his mission. Paul says, I press on, verse 14, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on here means to move quickly, energetically towards some objective. It is with this kind of veracity that Paul strove for the prize and upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul lived and breathed for the ultimate goal of resurrection in heaven with Christ, the greatest prize. Paul lived for the day when the heavenward call would come, like a victory in a race. And rather than slack off, as some might be prone to do, the thought of it motivated him to further strive in Christ-likeness, and this through forgetting what lied behind and reaching forward to what lied ahead. A believer who forgets what lies behind is better prepared to move ahead where God wants to take them. And this leads us to the third and the final spiritual law that we read about in this passage, and that is those in Christ will be aided by the right attitude. Those in Christ will be aided to move along. Again, these are spiritual laws of motion. They will be aided to move along for the Lord, aided by the right attitude. Verse 15 reads this way: let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Paul uses irony here when he says as many as are perfect, because nobody reading this was perfect, including himself who's writing it. Many might have convinced themselves that they were perfect, the self-righteous that Paul has been calling out recently in the context of this passage, but these fell short of adopting the attitude that Paul has been encouraging here, the attitude reflected in the first two laws of spiritual motion, of Christ-likeness and forward motion. Those who were perfect, at least in their own minds, should have perfectly reflected the attitude of Jesus and the gospel progress, but this was not the case. And this is why Paul continues with in verse 15, and if in anything you have a different attitude, which is all of us, we all end up with different attitudes that are not conducive to what Paul's talking about, God will reveal that, he says, also to you. God will call out the attitudes that are contrary to the person and work of Christ, so that those in Christ pursuing the mission of Christ can be aided by the attitude of Christ. What a blessing to know that God will reveal those things that will get in the way of missional motion in the life of his church. In the church of Philippi, God would uncover any wrong attitudes, including those involving ideas of perfectionism that led to self-righteousness and disunity, so that the mission would not be inhibited. And oh, that God would do the same for us in our lives, that God would uncover those attitudes that are not in keeping with the mission of God and where he wants to take us. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Lead me in the everlasting way. What if we made that our prayer? Well, Paul ends this passage with an admonition. However, he says, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Believers were to remain steadfast, and this involved allowing what they achieved in Christ up to this point to guide them into the future as they pursued God's mission together. Keep on keeping on, Paul says to the church of Philippi, as we pursue God's mission all the way to the glorious end to which we strive because of our position in Christ Jesus. Adopting such an attitude aids those in Christ as they are on the move for his glory. Three spiritual laws. Three spiritual laws of motion articulated here in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Those in Christ pursue Christ-likeness. A believer who forgets what lies behind is better prepared to move ahead. And those in Christ will be aided by the right attitude. Like the laws of physics, these are foundational. And in this case, they're foundational to one's spiritual life as they mature in the Lord. These are also paramount for the church as she seeks to accomplish her mission of making disciples. You see, making disciples requires believers that are on the move and are excited to go somewhere These three laws of motion keep the gears liberally greased in that forward motion for God's mission. So let me ask you, if you are in Christ today, are you pursuing Christ-likeness? Friends, for our church to be used to see folks become friends and friends become part of the family of God, we need more Jesus lookalikes, not self-promoters. Are you focused on what is ahead in the glorious mission and goal to which we have been called? Or are you preoccupied with what's already passed or what's around you? For our church to see folks become friends and friends become part of the family of God, we need more forward thinkers, less of those who are distracted unnecessarily by those things which are past, good or bad. And finally, how's your attitude? Have you grown discouraged to the point of wanting to throw in the towel? Are you struggling to persevere? Can I encourage you today, as Paul does here to the church in Philippi, to keep on keeping on in faith? The folks that don't know Jesus around us need this church and its people to keep living by the same standard to which they have attained. The friends that we are already investing in need our love and gospel witness. Your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ need us, need you, need me, moving in the right direction. Remember the hope that we are aspiring to of heaven and the victory that is ours in the end. And what a victory it is. When I was in high school, there was a big game, a big college football game. It's a very famous game. In fact, one of the more famous classic matchups in the history of college football. It was USC versus the University of Texas in the Rose Bowl. I think it was 2005. Vince Young was the quarterback of University of Texas. And I'll never forget watching that game with a lot of excitement. At the time, I was a University of Texas fan as a high school student, and we were really cheering and had some friends that had already graduated were at that school, so I had a reason to cheer for them. And in quite a miraculous display of athleticism, I'll never forget Vince Young running in for a winning touchdown and University of Texas winning that game. My mom and I stayed up late into the night to watch this game unfold, and it was pretty touch and go there. The outcome was not very sure until it was sure, and the Longhorns were on top. I'll never forget, my father had elected to go to bed early that night, and he didn't get to see the end of the game. He heard about it after the next day, and we told him all the excitement about it. But a few weeks later, one of the stations on our television set elected to play the game again, showed the entire game again as sort of a repeat, or as, because it was just so exciting and such a classic matchup that they elected to show those games, some of those games again, and this was one of those that they did. And I remember watching that game with my father, with us both knowing the outcome of the game. And while it looked at the end, even close to the end, that University of Texas was going to lose, we didn't break a sweat at all, because we knew the end from the beginning. And while others watching it live, and I remember watching it live, were very nervous and wondering whether or not it was going to go our way, because I knew what was going to happen and the victory that would be achieved, I was able to enjoy the experience all the more. And friends, I don't know what you're going through today. There are a lot of people in our church that are dealing with a lot of different things, a lot of different health issues and other things going on. Many are confused or discouraged or distracted, wondering, how is everything going to work out? But friends, can I remind you of the ultimate end and the victory that is ours in Christ? Friends, God's people need to live their lives like they know the end from the beginning. And our God is victorious over everything in this world. And remembering that will go a long way in helping us move in the right direction. Are you moving in that direction today? Are you persevering in the midst of what you're facing? Are you pursuing Christ's likeness? Or are you looking behind you all the time, wishing for things gone by or paralyzed by things that you've once done? Friends, there's a better way to be about the Lord's business. And it requires us to be on the move for Jesus, seeking Him and following Him where He leads. And maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ today. If that's you and you don't know what it means to have victory in the end, we'd love to pray with you. We'd love for you to reach out to us. You can reach out to us as a church at info@salembaptistchurch.info. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to schedule some time to meet and encourage you and maybe answer any questions that you have about what the gospel is and what this victory is that Jesus provides those who will trust Him in faith. But friends, don't let your heart be troubled today. Be encouraged. God is on the move. He is. And whether or not we may be able to move and do all that we think we need or want to do, we can continue to partner with what He is doing if we remember to pursue Christ's likeness, to forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead, and to ask the Lord to check our attitude to make sure that it's compliant with the mission that God has given us to accomplish. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your word. And Lord, how Your word never returns void. And God, we trust that You have spoken to all of us today through this passage. And Lord, we ask that now Your Spirit would take what we've learned, bury it deep in our lives, so that You may yield much fruit in the lives of Your people. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not yet have a relationship with You, that's watching this or will watch this, we pray that You would not let them rest until they find their rest in You, so that they too can be pursuing Christ's likeness, that they too can be moving forward as You lead them with the right attitude. And Lord, may we as Your church adopt these spiritual laws, and may we move in compliance with Your will and Your mission as we seek to make disciples in our world. Lord, we love You and we thank You. We ask that You would continue to bring healing to those that might be sick and protection for those who are not sick. Encourage us, Father, each and every day. Remind us that we are not alone, that You go with us, and that, Lord, You are in control. Thank You again for the reminder that we have Your victory in the end. May we live as though we know the end of the story, because, Lord, You've shared with us that end. And we're thankful. We're thankful that You win. And those of us who are found in You will be with You in that glorious, glorious future. Thank You, Father, we pray all of this in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us again in this way today. We love you. We are praying for you. And if we can encourage you or answer any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Again, info@salembaptistchurch.info. Again, I'll encourage everybody watching, if you want to go to our website, salembaptistchurch.info, and you can join us for our 24 hours of prayer. There's a link there at the top of the homepage. Again, you can give online at our church's website also, and we will be keeping in touch with you and sharing with you any updates about what we have coming up in the next week. Thank you again so much, and God bless.